for us this evening, and then we'll end with a little fellowship after that. So do I have any volunteers for the getting up here first? All right.
Thank you, sir. Howdy, Saints. Good evening. So, I don't know if anybody else felt it, but this year felt a little harder than some in recent memory. For those that are in the know, this year my health has kind of taken a bit of a downward spiral. I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease that attacks my nerve endings and my muscles, making it a little harder to do a lot of things, but I still consider it all joy. I'm still able to partake with the saints. I'm still here walking this earthly sojourn. It's rather fitting that the song choice was Poor Wayfaring Stranger. I was doing some looking into what was diagnosed here a handful of months back, and unlike most things like MS or Crohn's or Lou Gehrig's disease, it doesn't shorten the lifespan. So my joy is that my time here is not shortened any more than the Lord allows. So, unfortunately for some of you, you have to put up with me a lot longer. I'm all for that, though. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in opening. And I'm going to read verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Now everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Therefore I run in such a way, not without aim. I box in such a way, simply not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. This has kind of become a scripture that I get to quote to myself daily. It's an honest reminder of no matter how hard the struggles, my brethren are also struggling around the world. There are a lot of saints who have worse things going on for them. Some of the brethren have had cancers. I'm thinking of like Michael Conover, who unfortunately passed away to his. I'm thinking of John Heim with his diabetes that ultimately took him out and brought him to his own reward. Todd Cooper, his heart issues. A lot of the brethren that have gone on to their heavenly reward didn't flake or fail even when their health dipped. They kept that faith. David Dobson lost his arm, suffered in pain for a good many years after the fact, still had a positive attitude, still was always there helping out with the kids, helping out and teaching messages. He is a fantastic example for us. But we have some really good ones in the scripture, too, that we can't overlook. Let's go to Philippians 3. We'll start verses 12 through 16. This is Paul speaking. Not that I, Paul, have already attained it or have become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not consider myself having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward towards what lies ahead, I press forward towards the goal of the prize of the upward call in God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, think this way, and if any of you think differently, God will reveal that to you also. However, let us keep walking in step with the same standard to which we have attained. Paul likens this to Christ, thinking back to what Christ suffered before his crucifixion and even during. He remained faithful throughout the worst torture a person could possibly go through. Whipped, beaten, scourged, the crown, being crucified, like bearing the weight of the sins of the world, being separated from God. That sudden, sharp jolt was soul-wrenching for him, and yet he still did not flake or fail. It's always a positive reassurance to us that those who have gone before us have left such a positive example that in this new year to come, we can also keep that same mind state. Larry, you went through that stroke a handful of years back, and you've come back stronger. We get to still hear your messages preached. It's a fantastic thing to see you persevere through it all. I know there's some adversities you still must go through that we're not inherently privy to, but I am super thankful for the example you lead as well. You, in turn, give me strength by seeing that. Let's go to James chapter 1. An oft-quoted scripture. Let's go to verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith brings about perseverance. And let perseverance have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. For those of us that power through this life's adversities, we are guaranteed a reward. In verse 12 of the same chapter, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, back in 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks about that imperishable wreath, that crown, that glory that is yet set before us for those who persevere and overcome. My final scripture tonight will be 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 16 till the end of the chapter. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is working out for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we do not look at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let us remember in this new year to keep our focus on God and on the upward call to go and seek and save disciples and to continue to work out our salvation moment by moment.
Good evening, everybody. If you would please turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. That's where I'll begin today. I want to give a quick thanks to Mr. Bantam for allowing me to come up here and speak to you guys. It's a huge encouragement to me, and I hope I can do the same. I don't know what in the universe. Goodness gracious, there it is. Sorry, y'all. All right, I'm going to read verse 10 of Ecclesiastes 9. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. I kind of want to start out by asking you guys a question. As you know, I like football. It could be with any other sport. But have you ever looked at an athlete and been like, that guy looks unstoppable? I mean, he makes it look easy. I'm a very big follower of the NFL, but as of recent, I have been finding myself being more interested in college football. One guy that really stuck out to me was a guy by the name of Ashton Gentry. I'm going to read out some stats here. Ashton Gentry put up considerably one of the best running back seasons in college football history. He ran for almost 2,500 yards. He had 29 rushing touchdowns. Now, this to me is the most impressive stat. He carried the ball 344 times. 344 times is a lot. And if you've ever played football or really any other sport, doing something 344 times repeatedly can get tiring. Now my question to you is, does Ashton Gentry show up and just dominate? Or was it because of all the hard work he put in off the field? Guys like Ashton Gentry don't just show up and dominate. It's about all the work that they put out off the field, whether that's in the weight room, it can be on the practice field, and most importantly, it's what they're doing at home when nobody's watching. It doesn't just include working physically, it also includes a lot about what you're eating, your diet. I'm sure if Ashton Gentry was eating Krispy Kreme donuts every day, I don't think he'd be as good as he is today. Well, that brings up the question to me about Christianity. Can we just expect to not really put in a lot of work and then just show up on game day and win? Or is it about all the hard work that we're putting out off the field? Because as a football player, playing against other teams and being the team that was exhausted, games are won before you even step on the field. Sweeney already had us there, but if you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to start in verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Here we see that we need to be prepared. Because if you're not prepared, you don't just lose the battle. You'll quit before it even starts. The other thing about Christianity and why I kind of thought of this was I thought of football, you know, teamwork. Ashton Gentry wouldn't be able to do what he does if it wasn't for his O-line. Same with us as Christians. Your work ethic and how hard you work is going to affect the rest of the team. And if you're not putting in the work, it is going to affect us. Another thing, too, is you can't fake putting in the work. As coaches, they look around at their players. They can tell who puts in the work and who doesn't. You cannot fake faith. You either built it or you didn't. You don't just rise to the occasion. You fall to your level of preparation. When life gets tough, which it will, when the enemy attacks, which he will, the question is not whether God is strong enough. The question is whether you are conditioned enough to stand with him. Are you ready for him to hand you the ball 344 times? Don't wait for the battle to come to be prepared. Don't wait for the storms of life to hit to build that foundation. But make it your goal this year and every other year after this, as many as the Lord permits, to be conditioned and ready for the war. The greatest tragedy isn't losing. It's knowing that you never tried hard enough to win it in the first place. Thank you.
Evening.
Good evening.
If you would turn your Bibles to Ephesians 6, we'll be reading out of verses 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and put in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of the darkness, against the spiritual forces of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and pretension, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and pretension for all the saints. So, I have been going to a lot of Bible studies as of late. I have always had the fear of not being, if I were given a situation where somebody were to come to me and ask me certain questions about the Bible that I don't have the knowledge for it. So I've been looking for many places where I can go to find these tools that are mentioned here, the armor of God. And I have gained much knowledge from these studies. I've been able to learn certain things that I normally haven't been able to do on my own. And it takes perseverance to be able to keep going to those things, because sometimes it doesn't always fit your day. Sometimes it's like, you know, I don't really want to do it right now. I could do it any day, any time in my week. I go to assembly. I could go to assembly. Like, multiple justifications to do this. But we still do it. And the reason why this is my first time doing this. I'm... My point is, I'm currently trying to forge this armor that is mentioned here. And if you don't forge it correctly, you're going to have imperfections. Pieces that don't fit right, because you didn't know how to make it in the first place. So, one of the things I've struggled with is humility, and thinking that I know it all. And I obviously do not, or else I would, yeah. But, if you think you know everything, do you really know everything? Because if you're going to build this armor and you start hacking away with a hammer and you're not using any kind of like knowledge with it, you're going to end up coming out with just a hunk of metal that's not going to do you any good. And when those arrows of the devil come flying at you, you're not going to be able to defend yourself with them. Now, the Lord has given us a great instruction manual to craft these items. And I think that if we continue in our Bible reading and continue in our studies, that we will be able to not only build this, which many of you have, and many of you know of the armor, but also be able to teach others how to build it themselves and be able to fight off the arrows that the devil has thrown in our way and the traps that the devil has laid before us. Which are of flesh and blood, but are of spirit. And the attacks of the spirit are the most dangerous. So if you do not continue to repair your armor and keep it in the condition that it's in, you will be vulnerable to these attacks. So I encourage you this year to keep your armor in mint condition and be able to teach others how to do the same. Thank you.
How's it going, everybody? Happy New Year's. So I was thinking about some things recently, about the idea of a new year, kind of a time to restart, much akin to what we do in our when we follow the plan of salvation. You know, it's a new creation, it's a new way of thinking, and they're really, you know, that's done in a spiritual context, but you still have to take that in mentality to the physical world, because if you can't do it there, you're not going to be able to do it spiritually, which is the most important thing. So you have to, I kind of liken the new year as thinking of you know, starting yourself over in your thinking. The latter part of Acts 3, verse 19, they're talking, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know, that you can achieve that if you, you know, by, you know, having that proper mindset of renewing yourself, and God will reward you for that. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul's talking, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. It's an opportunity to forget what has happened, you know, past year, the past many years. You know, start yourself with on a blank page, if you will. Say, okay, I'm going to start here and go forward, and think about where you want to grow to in your life and your spiritual life especially, and not burden yourself with what happened before, because that really means nothing in the grand scheme of things. And you know, with that kind of mindset, you know, I think you have a really good chance of succeeding. And think about the ultimate goal is, you know, making it to the end, like a couple of guys have talked about, you know, finish that race. And you know, you want to be the winner potentially, but finishing it is the most important part. And you know, I've run in races in the past, well, since school, but it's like I'm just happy to finish. And I would strive to win, but I'm happy with being able to finish the task at hand. And that's what we ultimately want to strive for. Thank you.
Can you all hear me all right? I'm kind of just sticking the mic to my shirt here, so we'll see how it goes. All right, Happy New Year. I don't know, what time is it? Almost 8:04 to go. Or if you're in Indonesia, it's already a new year. So I was, when Josh Bantam came up and asked me what if I would be willing to give a message for the new year, a message being pretty generous to me, I said, sure. I was pretty happy to be asked. I asked him what to talk about. He just said, make it relevant to the new year. I was going to go around and ask what the other people were talking about. Hate to step on anybody's toes. And Josh Bantam, he's like, well, that's part of the fun. Just pick a message and we'll see where it goes. I was happy with what I picked because it went in line with a lot of what everybody else has been doing and talking about tonight. So let's just start with picking my topic. So it goes back actually to what I've been thinking about for the past couple of months. As many of you know, I've been up in Bozeman. Pretty fun up there, going to college. Bobcats having a great year. For any of you who didn't know that, you should root for them. Up there on Sunday nights, we do groups. So I was in Sue Newman's group, great guy. You should all talk to him. He's really funny. He was given a little devotion. And he was talking, he gave a demonstration or an illustration. And he was talking about a conversation with his daughter, Taylor. And it got brought up, and Taylor was asking her dad, and I'm not going to do impressions of Taylor or Sue Newman, just to let you guys know. But Taylor was talking to her dad, and she was asking, Dad, why are we given some of these emotions that we have to deal with? I mean, some of these emotions, it's you're fighting either your emotion or what you know is right. I mean, why were we given these emotions? Sometimes they can be almost destructive, right? Especially when you're going through your youth, which I'm sure a lot of people know wasn't a fun time. Some of these emotions are really difficult to battle with. I mean, some of your impulses you have to deal with. I mean, it's a battle, and you have to pick what's right. So that kind of set out, that's what I've been thinking about for the past couple months now. If you guys would turn over to Romans 7. We're going to flip to the end of Romans 7. This actually came up in the young adult study on Friday. Lorenzo leads that a couple weeks ago. We're going to go to the end of Romans 7. Start in verse 21. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on one hand, I myself, with my mind, am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. So this isn't exactly a new concept, as most of you know, kind of established in the Bible. You got the spirit and the flesh. Everybody knows the story back in the Garden of Gethsemane. Apostles falling asleep, just like the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. A lot of us have dealt with that. The flesh, it's hard to deal with. I mean, as I'm sure most of you older folk have gone through your lives, I mean, it's a long battle. I mean, I'm pretty young. I've already had to deal with some fun confrontations in my life, as I'm sure a lot of you had to go through your lives. I mean, Will was up here talking about some medical problems. I mean, it's tough, and it doesn't get easier, as I'm sure some of you know. I mean, you're constantly having to battle through this spiritual battle. I mean, it's not easy being a Christian. I mean, when we're on this earth, Satan's constantly throwing stuff at you, and he's not going to give up. I mean, you don't last until you're 30 years old, and he's just like, all right, this guy's made it, move on to the next target. I mean, he's constantly at you. You could be at death's door, and he's going to try to get one last thing in there. But not to end this on a downer, if you guys want to flip over to 1 Corinthians 10, when we memorized this for Bible Bowl in school, I always liked this verse. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. So a lot of people ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? You know, I mean, there's no rhyme or reason. I mean, the world's tough. Bad things happen. I mean, it's God didn't make this bad thing happen. God can't tempt you. But he also makes sure that you're not going to deal with a problem that's too great for you. I mean, no matter what he throws at you, you can make your way through it. This verse is really encouraging to me because sometimes you're going through life and it can be super tough. And sometimes it feels overwhelming just with work, whatever you're dealing with, medical problems. But we always can know in our hearts that we're not tempted beyond what we're able. We're always going to be able to endure it. So I pray that all of us, starting the new year, we'll be able to start the new year strong and make it through 2025. Thank you.
All right. Had a few people up here, and I think when I approached them, I did ask them for something they can tie into the new year. And I think there's a pretty consistent theme that came through, slightly adjacent to the new year. And from running the race to finishing the race, running the touchdown, there's work involved. There's arrows being thrown, darts being tossed. There's work, and we're in it for the long run, like I said. So with that, I do want to give these guys a round of applause, and I'll have a few words of encouragement after that. So, well done, you guys. All right, if you guys will turn with me to Luke chapter 5. In Luke 5, we'll start off in verse 39, or 37, sorry. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and will be spilled out, and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wishes for new, for he says the old is good enough. So this is definitely talking about the new creation, being cleansed for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The old man must die in order for the new creature to exist. Now, Matthew and Mark also give us this parable as well in their messages. But Luke, being Luke, gives us a little bit more. That's that verse 39. No one, after drinking the old wine, wishes for the new, for he says the old is good enough. Really, I think what Luke is getting at here is it's a warning. For the Jews, it became a little bit of a stumbling block. For they were accustomed to the law, and many of them kept to the law even after Christ came. When Christ began the Christian system, the new covenant through his ascension, many of the Jews stuck to the old law, and some of them kept to some of the practices in there. Namely, circumcision became an issue. Now, they eventually worked those kinks out, but it took them a bit. And Ephesians 4 tells us that it's not enough for a thief to just stop stealing. He's to work hard and then give to those who are in need. Similarly, for a liar, it's not enough to just stop lying. We must seek the truth, proclaim the truth. The concept here in Luke, the new wine must go in new wineskins. We can apply that to other aspects too. One thing is habits. You can replace something simple to create a new habit. Could just be something simple like comfort. I have to give up this comfort to create this new habit. Could be a diet. Could have to give something up to obtain something new. Now, these young men over here, and I'll say young loosely, because we all know Mr. Sweeney here is borderline left side of Mr. Simpson during the Lord's Supper serving. Yeah. But everyone here has everyone who gets up here has something to overcome, something that they are replacing, whether that's a fear of inadequacy, whether it's inexperience, could be just a something brand new, a growth. Well, something that's consistent with each of them is a fire for the Lord. That even though these things are hard to get up here, they do it anyway. They preach from the scripture, from the truth. And I know it's something pretty consistent this evening too. Everyone was speaking from a position of experience. That was something that took me a long time to get my mind through. A lot of it, when I first became a Christian, was read, talk about the reading, and that was about it. I didn't know how really to apply the two, but most of these guys, they got up here, they gave you their experience, we read the scripture that applies. They've been a very, very good job of doing that. And it's not always easy. So thank you guys very much. Well done. And with that, the messages are over for the evening, but we've got a full evening full of fellowship with each other. And, well, let's let the festivities begin. We've got some food and drink in the back, and let's have some fellowship.